Well, praise God. You glad to be in church today? Well, a couple of things I want to say before I get into preaching is, one is, y'all be praying this week that Sister Annie, I talked to her day before yesterday, and they're having the conference in Mexico in Zacapa, and so they'll be drawing all the pastors from the southern region of Mexico will be coming there for the annual conference, and that's this coming week. And so y'all just add in your prayers, just safety. She's actually flying down there because it's just too dangerous to travel on the roads by car, and so she's flying down there and has to go just about an hour in the car to get to where she's going. But it's in the state of Michoacan, so if you know anything about drug trafficking, that's where all the drugs come from, and that's the place to be, you know. So anyway, that's right where the mission is. Better place to have mission right there. So there'll be, you know, about 100 pastors coming in from that whole southern region all the way down to the border of Guatemala will be coming up and be there. And so y'all just keep her in your prayers and just be praying for her, okay? So anyway, get your Bibles out this morning. And let's go to the Word this morning. If you would, I think you just better throw it open right now, because I don't want to tell you where to turn, because then you'll think about where I'm going and then I'll lose you and y'all be wanting to head for the door out there. So I'll keep you in suspense a little longer. But you know, like Tracy just said just a minute ago, it's been on my heart from the very first of the year that as Christians, you have to understand the power that God has for you. You have to understand the privileges you have as a Christian, that you are a VIP. If you've given your heart to Jesus, if He's the Lord and Savior of your life, if you believe that He is the Son of God and that you're looking to His blood to be the sacrifice for your sin, then you are in heaven a VIP. Okay? You're a very important person because you are housing the Spirit of the living God in you. You're carrying the Spirit of God everywhere that you go. He lives in you and dwells in you. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, that's pretty neat. But we walk around as Christians, and you know, nothing makes me madder than stupid preachers. I said it. Y'all listening and watching, just believe me. I hate stupid preachers. I guess hate's a hard word, but I mean, I get irritated. How about that? I get irritated at stupid preachers. I get irritated at people that tell me they don't want to go to church because this church was doing this and there was a fight and a splitting and this and that and the other and like this. And it makes me mad because we're supposed to be as Christians doing one thing, promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ, telling people that God loves them. And then what do we end up doing? Everybody's fighting and bickering and saying, no, it's this, it's that. We got to do this. We got to do that. And that's so wrong. And the world looks at it and they say, well, look at those Christians. They're a bunch of idiots. They're, you know, don't have anything, don't got it together. They think they're walking in love and they're not there. And then they're a bunch of hypocrites and this. And that's just is wrong, folks. It's wrong. And I have one simple message to preach to this world. And it's simply this, that God loves you. And we have to understand that when God loves you and you walk with Him, your life is going to be blessed. And things are going to be good. And when you grab hold of the understanding of that and get a revelation of what God really did for you, it'll change your life. It'll set you free. I know, because I came from it. I know. I came from dead broke. I came from alcohol abuse. I came from a life that wasn't living for Jesus. I know. I've been out there. But I guarantee you what, I wouldn't trade an ounce of my day today for what I had back then. Because I know it's real. And so my heart is to just get people to understand and get you to know and grab hold of the revelation that you're an important person when you're a Christian, when you've made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Forget about it. Let all the rest fight. Let them all just bicker and fight and wrestle around or whatever. Just walk your life. Live your life. Walk your path. Get on down the road. Just keep your relationship with Jesus and go on. And don't get involved in all that mess, because all it's going to do is drag you down. Amen? Okay, so the point I want to focus on this morning is simply this. I've told y'all we've had 13 prior to this that as a VIP powers that you get to walk in. And this morning when you're going to hear this and then you're going to think, oh my God, you're going to want to run. But you got to hear me out, okay? The 14th point this morning is that you have the power of love. See, I got a big amen. See, everybody's like, no, brother. You know, that's really good. I mean, see, I knew this would happen. I told the Lord, I prayed last night. I said, Lord, I don't want to preach this. I said, they ain't going to like it. They ain't nobody going to hear. Everybody's just going to fall right off the pulpit. That's what it did. It just went, I said that, my words went right there, and then just fell off. They're down there somewhere. Because the bottom line is, as Christians, the minute that we hear love, we associate it with being taken advantage of. It's just like if I say anything about, you know, the other horrible word, forgiveness, then everybody says, well, you know, so we all want to be justified. Nobody wants to forgive. But there's a power in walking in love, and I want to show you this. The only way that you can walk in the power of love, the only way you can walk in the power of love is that you have to have a revelation of how much God loves you. If you don't have a revelation of how much God loves you, then you can't walk in God's love. Because what happens is you don't have enough love to go around. All right? Now, in the Greek language, which, you know, the Bible was translated into Greek, and if you read the Greek language, it's a whole lot more sophisticated language than ours. If you say love right now, the English word love, that means everything from your feelings you have for your dog and the feelings you have for your wife. Am I right? Huh? Am I right? You know, it's like that old joke, you know, where the guy said, look, go over there and lock your dog up in the trunk of the car and lock your wife up in the trunk of the car, then open it up, you know, a couple hours later and see who still loves you. But in English, love just means to have an affection for. So the way you love ice cream, the way you love your dog, the way you love your wife, the way you love God, it just falls into one big word, love. Right? But in the Greek language, it's not like that. The Greek language, they have three words for love. The first one is eros. That's the word it means a sensual love. It means lust, basically. And then there's philia love, which is the love you have like for your mother, your father, your sister, your brother. It's this kind of love, family type love. And then there's agape love. And they gave this word, they made this word agape and gave this word to designate spiritual love, love that's unconditional. Okay? When the Bible translates and said God loves you, the word they use is agape. Because they're trying to get across the point that, listen, the love that God has for you is not a love like you have for your dog. For instance, my dog ran off yesterday. I didn't even look for it. I just said, well, stupid dog, you know I feed you. You got a good place here at the house. Always a wet spot there to lay. And, you know, if you don't come home, you're just your fault. This morning I looked out the window, the dog was laying there. I said, oh, okay, dog, you came home, good. Are y'all with me? But the love that God has for us is a love that's an unconditional love. He doesn't look at us like that. He doesn't have that kind of love for us. Okay? Now, so go in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13. Let me show you what the God kind of love for you is. And just think about this. I don't want you to be thinking about trying to love somebody else. Well, he's going to tell me I got to love my husband. Sorry, sucker. Needs to be hitting the head with a bat. No, I don't even go there. Just let me explain to you for just a minute how much God loves you, okay? Think of it only in that area, all right? Don't think of it anywhere else. 1 Corinthians 13, and starting in verses 1 through 5, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and through it I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. And I bestow all my goods on the poor, and I feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. Now, then jump down to the next verse there. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. It's giving you a definition of what God's love is towards you. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. That is the description of what agape love is. Well, the love that God has for you. It's a love that doesn't make any sense, because just like my dog ran off, stupid dog. But you can run off from Jesus and you can go back into the world and you can get saved and you can really know it's true and you can have a revelation and ask him to be the Son of God and to come into your life and be saved. But you can run off and you can be out there, you know, doing whatever, the raunchiest thing that could be done, but God's love towards you still is, thinks no evil, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, because his love's never going to fail. God's love towards you never ceases. It never stops. You see, what we do as Christians or as people, as human beings, our love is not unconditional. Our love is conditional. Man, you treat me right, I love you. You don't treat me right, you know, I'll beat snot out of you and throw you out back. Are y'all with me? This is our thinking. That's why relationships and marriage don't work, because it's based on conditional love. You perform, hey, it's a great marriage. You don't perform, I'll get the next one. Come on, don't look at me like that. Y'all all know it. And why? Because we get hurt in life. We get rejected in life and we get hurt. And so then what happens to us? We fight. The more you get hurt in life, the more life runs you through the chipper. Huh? Or maybe it's the tenderizer. You got holes all in you. The more life runs you through there. Because a lot of you, the things that have happened to you in life that have made you hard and tough, you didn't ask for it. If I go out and pick a fight with somebody bigger than me and I get whipped, I ask for it. Hello? But there's some things that happen in life you didn't ask for. It just happened. The lot fell to you. Boom, there it is. And some people get mad at God and say, well, God didn't love me, because if he loved me, he wouldn't let this happen. Wait a minute. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is not perfect. We live in a world that has got problems. And it got problems because it started in the garden. And things happen in life because they just happen. But that doesn't mean God's love and his feelings towards you ever change. Because he loves you with agape love. He loves you with unconditional love. He's not saying, okay, well, if you perform, I love you. That's why people get it wrong, because what happens to us is we get into this phase that, how many of you have ever had the thought when you know that what you did wasn't pleasing, or you don't think it's pleasing to God, and then something bad happens, you immediately think, oh God, I messed up the other night and I did that, and then, you know, so now God's after me. Or the devil's after me. Are y'all with me? Well, wait a minute, you're living by performance. So you can go ask my wife, and she'll tell you the truth. The truth of the matter is, I don't do everything right. Truth of the matter is, I can be an idiot. Y'all with me? Truth of the matter is, if I'm trying to live my life by performance, I'm going to fall short, because I am not 100% pure. I ain't perfect. When you're on a performance track in life and you're trying to live your life because you're doing so good, oh, I'm such a good Christian. Just wait a minute, you're about to fall face first in the mud. The moment you think, I got this down, I'm doing good, God really loves me because I'm not sinning, you're lost. There's a tripwire waiting for you to go squoop, face first in the mud. Folks, none of us are going to make it in the eyes of God except by the blood of Jesus. The Bible says none of us are perfect. No, not one. There's not anybody perfect. So everybody can get off their high horse and just get down in the dirt with the rest of us and realize that there's nobody going to make it. There's nobody perfect. I don't care what you do. I don't care how much you say, oh, Mother Teresa, she's perfect. She ain't perfect. Because God says the mark is perfection and ain't nobody going to reach perfection. So we've all have to have the blood of Jesus, the only one that was perfect, the only one whose sacrifice could come upon our lives and wash us and cleanse us of the sin that was in our life. The only one that could do it is Jesus. And we have to always be looking to him and by the blood of Jesus over our lives, making us right. Well, folks, when you carry and you live and you walk with God, with the blood of Jesus over your life, then God is looking at the blood. He ain't looking at your stupidity. But some of us are so stupid, we keep going doing the stupid rather than getting healed so we can do the non-stupid. God's love towards you, he's always looking at you saying, man, see, you say, well, we can't do it. You say it's impossible. You mean God looks at me and he says, well, I think no evil of them. I'm going to bear all things. I'm going to believe all things. I hope all things. I endure all things. Love never fails. You say, how could God be looking at me like that? You can't think that away because you're not God. I don't always think that away because I'm not God. But you know what I do know? That the word's true. And I'm going to believe the word. And I choose to say, well, Lord, you made these rules, and I'm going to walk in them. You made it up. You said if I asked Jesus to come into my life, and he's the Lord and Savior of my life, and his blood's covering me, well, then I'm walking in that, and you said it, so I'm playing by those rules. Y'all with me? Okay. It's so amazing that even the Apostle John in 1 John 3, verse 1, he says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. In other words, John the Apostle said, what manner of love is this? This is mind-boggling. And he's the guy that walked with Jesus. He's the guy that saw miracles, saw signs, wonders, see people's eyes open, lame people walking, lepers healed. But even he, the revelation was so astounding to him, he said, my, what manner of love is this that God loves us? Folks, you have to understand something this morning. You're never going to walk in agape love towards someone else until you understand the agape love that God has for you. You're not going to walk in love out there until you understand how unlovely you really are, but God sees you as lovely. Well, I'm not that bad. At least I'm not as bad as they are. You just proved my point. You see, when you have a thought like that, well, you know, I mean, I've done some sinning in my life, but I ain't done nothing like that guy did. You're just proving the point. You're just putting yourself, you're living by works. You're judging yourself by works, and you're saying, well, God should love me before he loves them because, you know, I'm not as bad as offensive as they are. The moment you get a revelation of that, say, wait a minute, I am that offensive to God. Years ago, I was in Mexico, and I'll never forget this. I was preaching in a building that was going to be a church, and all they had done was poured a slab, and it had some walls up and no roof, no windows, no anything like that. And I was just in the middle of this town preaching. And so I was going along there, and I asked people if they, you know, wanted to give their hearts to Jesus, and there wasn't too many people responded, and I felt in my heart that there was somebody else. I said, somebody listen to me. I just know in my heart that somebody's listening to this message, and you need to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, and you need to come to him, and you want to come to him, but you're an alcoholic, and you don't want to quit drinking, but you think you can. I'm telling you, Jesus will love you just like he is. And nobody said anything. Nobody stood up. Nobody came. And so I was getting a little bit like, okay, Lord, I guess I missed this one. And so then I said one more time. I said, I want to say it one more time. And all of a sudden, coming outside from the building, a drunk came walking in. And he was sitting on the other side of the wall of the building, but he wouldn't come in. And so finally he came in, he comes up. This man was the filthiest man I'd ever seen in my life, physically. And he came up and he smelled so bad that, I mean, it was like burning my eyes trying to talk to this guy. And I thought to myself, man, is this not like we, am I just, I'm seeing this guy, but is this just not like we all are coming to Jesus? I don't care who you are. Without the blood of Jesus, this is the way we all are. We're just stinky, we're dirty, we're filthy, and the only one that can cleanse us is Jesus. And I don't know whatever happened to that man. I prayed with him that day. He gave his heart to Jesus. I know I'll see him in heaven. I don't know where, you know, whatever became of him, but I'm going to tell you something. You've got to understand that. You're not going to walk in love naturally towards the world because we humanly see the people in the world like that. And if they're not being nice to us, then we don't want to be nice back. But if you understand that God loves you unconditionally, He loves you, and that's the state you were in before you came to Jesus, then all of a sudden your world changes because you realize that ugly person over there, oh, they're ugly. And I'm not saying you have to say, oh, bless their darling little hearts. I'm just saying you have to have a revelation. Yeah, you're ugly. You need Jesus. Look, come on, let's get real here. I'm not talking about that you're just going to be all tenderhearted and the first ugly person that comes up and is mean to you and says something nasty to you and just, you know, something that you're just going to say, oh. No, I'm talking about a revelation that that person needs Jesus, just like you needed Jesus. And then you can stop and you can back up and you can say, you know, Lord, you need to bless that person, touch that person, you know. I mean, sometimes I'm praying, God, you need to heap some burning, fiery coals of hell on top of their head. You got to start somewhere. Okay, let me go on. Go to John 15. Gospel of John chapter 15. Verse 11. Verse 11 says, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. You see that? Just stop for a second. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. I'm telling you, Jesus wants you happy. Jesus doesn't want you worried. Jesus doesn't want you upset. Jesus wants you happy. Jesus wants you full of joy. He wants a joy that's a joy from heaven, a joy that never stops, a joy that never ceases. Every day when you wake up, folks, you've got to understand, according to Psalms 139, God has precious thoughts towards you. He has so many precious thoughts towards you. The Bible says that there, it's more than the number of the sand in the sea. So you may have a few people that you think are thinking ugly about you, but you have God who's thinking precious thoughts towards you. Okay? He's thinking thoughts towards you, and he's thinking only of, because he's looking at you in unconditional love, that he wants you blessed, that he wants you happy, that he wants your marriage happy, that he wants your life happy, that he wants you full of joy, that he wants you full of peace. He's looking totally at the situation with all of the energy that creates worlds focused towards you, saying, this is what I want for them. But he gives us the free will to either choose it or not. To either walk in it or say, nah, I want to do it my way. It's no slack on God's end. He's for us. But he's waiting for us because he gave us the power as VIPs to choose to walk in his ways or not. You know, as I've gotten older and in the years of our marriage, you know, used to, I would pick a fight with my wife right off the bat. And I knew it wouldn't be profitable, but it was just like I wanted to prove the point, you know, like I was going to stand my ground. And then, you know, the ice treatment came in and the stalactites were hanging from the ceiling and, you know, my breath was frozen as it came out of my mouth, you know, and from the problems in the house, you know, and I'd stand my ground till I just froze out. And then I was willing to reconcile because I was just tired of living in the cold. Okay? And as I've gotten older, I've gotten wiser, and I would only pick my fights. Like I would choose which ones were willing to go to war over. You know? And if it was a little thing, let it go. But if it was a big thing, that I'd stand my ground. Okay? Now as we've even gotten older in our relationship, it's like neither one of us want to even go there. Okay? Now maybe we're just getting smarter, or we just don't have the energy anymore to fight. You know? But it's like, you know, well, whatever, you know. And the one thing that I have learned in life is that I want to have joy. I don't want to fight. I don't want to go to war. I want to have joy. I don't even care if everybody thinks I'm wrong. You with me? I don't care what my, I mean, I'm just getting, hey, maybe that's what happens when you just get old. And everybody says, well, you're not that old, but I've been 40 years old since I was 12. I mean, I was in full-fledged business when I was 15. I had 1,000-head hog operation, trailer trucks, tractors, balers. Man, I was totally, completely, 100% in business, huge business at 15. So I've been 40 years old since I've been 15. I had responsibility all my life. And now it's just to the point where maybe it's just I'm just getting to where, okay, I'm just don't really care. But I know one thing. I want joy. I don't want war. Jesus wants you to have joy in your life. He wants you to have peace in your life. He says, I want your joy to be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as you've loved you. You're not going to truly ever walk in joy until you understand how to walk in love. Look, when I got up this morning and I was drinking my coffee and I was getting ready for church and getting ready and thinking about this message, I got so happy just knowing that God loved me. If all of y'all are mad at me, God loves me. Are y'all with me? It brought joy into my heart the moment that I could sit there in my chair and say, man, God, that is so amazing. How could you have so many? You've got all these amazing thoughts towards me. You're sitting there. That's more as the sand of the sea. You have these amazing thoughts towards me. You got better thoughts towards me than I even have of me. And you're just loving me in heaven this morning. It's an unconditional love. And as I begin to just dwell on this and think on this and read the scriptures and look at what the Bible says, I'm like, how could I not have joy this morning? See, we all get caught up and we're trying to please the world and please those around us and trying to get this done to make us have joy. But the real joy is to understand and have a revelation that God loves you. This agape love, this unconditional love. Okay? He says, this is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than to lay down his life for his friend. Those words love there are agape. If you look it up. Okay? You are my friend if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that things that I have heard from my Father I have made known unto you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Now stop right there. Here's how you get that revelation of God's love for you. You have to come to this understanding that God chose you. You say, oh, no, Pastor. As a young kid, I was at church and preachers preaching, and he gave an altar call, and I went and I gave my heart to Jesus. I chose him. No. He had already chosen you before you ever chose him. All you did was answer the call. All you did was accept it. But he already chose you. How many of you remember in school, when you're in, mostly it was grade school, and you were going to go do anything? You're going to go play softball. I guess things are different nowadays. I mean, my day, you're going to go play softball, and everybody started choosing teams. They've got two captains, and they started choosing teams. And they started picking. And what if you were the last one picked? That meant that you were the least you were chosen as the least likely to help. Y'all with me? That's a terrible feeling to be standing there when you're not being picked. But with God, you never have to worry about that because God has already chosen you before you ever even came to your senses that He loved you. He chose you. That's what it says. He chose you. You remember playing Red Rover? I guess that's probably too violent of a game to be played nowadays. If you don't know what Red Rover was, we played Red Rover. You know, you go out there and you lock arms, you get one line of people and the other line of people, and then you would choose somebody to come running to see if they could break the line, right? Well, you didn't choose the biggest, beefiest person to come running. I mean, you know, you started choosing the little guys, right? And then where did they choose to run? To where they thought was the weakest link of the line. All this choosing we do in life so many times is all based upon the weakest link. But listen to me. God chose y'all based upon His agape love because He saw in you nothing but potential. He saw in you nothing but the ability. We human beings, listen to me, can be amazing people. We can love when there's no one else going to love. We can sacrifice when no one else would sacrifice. I mean, do you ever has your dog ever gone and got you a drink of water? I mean, did you ever walk outside? The dog jumped up and says, "Oh, what can I do for you?" No, he's like, "You got anything to eat? You know, come on, I need some water over here." Are y'all following me here? There's no other species that's going to sacrifice for the other for the betterment of all. Except human beings. And God's love towards you is that He's already chosen you. You've got to get this revelation. He looked down, saw you, and said, "Yeah, I want her. I want him. Yeah, I'll take him. I'll take that one. What a..." So if you're chosen, you're special. And God's love towards you is a love that's unconditional. So He chose you and said, "I'm going to give you all my love." Basically, He said, "You get everything in the kingdom." Ephesians 1 and 3 says, "Man, you've been blessed with everything in heaven. It's all yours." This world is so performance-minded that we look at everything saying, "Well, you know, you got to earn that." God says, "No, I choose you and I give you everything." And we're stupid enough to not take it. We're stupid enough to say, "No, I think maybe this is the way it ought to be done." Instead of just reading our Bibles, believing what the Word says, and then walking in it. God says, "I want you to have a revelation of this, because if you understand this revelation, then what will happen is, then you're going to have that agape love working, flowing through you. And then you can extend it towards somebody else. But you're not going to walk in love unless you have the revelation. Because you don't have enough human love to give out." Because you've done been running to the tenderizer of life and you're trying to plug your own hole. Your own boat sinking. How are you going to help somebody else keep their boat from sinking? Look at the person beside you and say, "Is your boat sinking?" Now look at this last part, and I'm finishing up right here. He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He would give you. These things I command you, you should love one another." He says, "Look, I just want you to understand this revelation of the love of God, and then I want you to bear fruit." Now what's the fruit that you're going to bear? Is helping somebody else in life to come to the same revelation that God loves them. Let's simplify Christianity to this one thing. God wants you, the world, to know that He loves them. and that through the sacrifice of Jesus, they can live forever with Him. Pretty simple. So God based everything. Listen to me now. I'm finishing. God based everything upon love. And He said, it'll work. If you had a business plan to start a business, and you worked out all the numbers and you worked all the things that's going to happen, this is going to be a business plan, blah, blah, blah. And then you looked at God's business plan, you would say, man, there's no way this is going to work, God. You're going to send one man, Jesus, to die on the cross for everybody. He's going to have 12 disciples who are all going to leave Him. Nobody's going to like Him. They're going to nail Him to a cross. And that's your plan to save the world? You with me? As a business model, that don't look too good. You're going to commit then the gospel, this news about Jesus, to 12 yahoos that already ran off and left you, that are uneducated people, fishermen, whatever they were, carpenters, whatever they may have been, uneducated people, the Bible says. You committed it to them that it would go spread to everybody in the world and all would know about Jesus. Right. Great plan, Lord. Do y'all follow me? It isn't a good plan. But God. He says, I'm going to base it all upon love. And as people find out in this world that I love them, it'll change their hearts, it'll change their lives, and it'll make all the difference in the world. And I choose to win this world by love. Oh, there's going to be a day that Jesus comes back as King Jesus. But right now, the grace over humanity is that He sees, I'm going to win the world with love. This unconditional love for people, when they come to a revelation of it, it'll change their life, set them free, then they're going to go to the next person and tell them about it. And when they go to the next person and tell them about it, it's going to change their life and set them free. And then it's going to go to the next person, the next, and it's by multiplication this is going to spread. And not simply this, tell them I love them. Folks, you're highly loved today. God loves you. He loves you. And so, I'm through. I want you to just put your Bibles up. And Laura, come up here and play something pretty for me. And I want you just to stop for a minute and think. Ask yourself right now if you feel like God loves you. Look down on the inside of your heart and say, are you trying to live life by performance? Are you trying to please God by performance? Or are you trying to please God simply by believing in Him and taking His promises at the face value that they are? If you struggle with that, if you wrestle with that, well, then I pray right now this morning that the words that I've spoken could be charged by the power of God and be a revelation to you. And that you could take that revelation into your heart and it would set you free. Because folks, listen to me, love always works. Love always wins. God's unconditional love always bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. And it never fails. And if you're in a tough situation right now, you might ask God, okay, well, how can I love through this situation? How can I get the power of love working in this situation to change? So now I want to ask you just to stand up, if you would, so I can pray over you. I want to ask my prayer team to come down, please. Now, church, listen to me. If you're here today, or if you're listening by audio or watching by video, and this message is, you've never heard anything like this before. You've never understood that God loved you this much. And you want to ask Him to come into your life. You want to, today's your day to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. You say, well, how do I know that? Well, your heart's beating real fast right now. Holy Spirit's tapping on your shoulder saying, I need you, and you need me in your life. And it's real simple. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you will be saved. It's not joining a church. It's not getting your performance right. It's inviting Jesus to come into your life. So I want to ask everybody just to bow your heads in here and give everybody a little privacy around you. And if you're in here today and for the very first time, you want to ask Jesus to come into your life, I want to pray with you. I want to ask you just to lift up your hand and say, yeah, Pastor, that's me. I want Jesus in my life. I want this love. I want to walk with Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Church, just pray with me. If you're listening by audio or watching by video, pray this prayer and ask Jesus to come in life. Say, Jesus, today, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe your blood can wash my sins away. And I put my faith and my trust in you. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me and forgiving me. Now, church, you prayed that prayer. You watching today, you prayed that prayer. Spirit of God's coming into your heart, into your life right now. You'll never be the same. Accept His love. Grab hold of it. Now, I'm going to pray over each and every one of you here. Father, right now, all the people that are here today that are listening, Father, those that haven't felt loved, I declare right now that the revelation of the love of God comes into their heart and comes into their mind right now. They forgive themselves for trusting in performance. They forgive themselves, Lord, for trusting in other ways and not just trusting in your unconditional love. And it becomes a revelation to them. It sets them free. I declare that tomorrow's going to be a new day because today their hearts are changed. Lord, every thought that the enemy has put into their minds, every person that's ever said they didn't love them, I just declare in Jesus' name it's destroyed. And the victory is theirs today because they accept your unconditional love. So, Lord, I thank you for it. I praise you for it. I ask you to bless them now, Lord. And as we go out this week, just let us reach more people and tell more people the good news that God loves them. And Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Now, church, we're up here. If you need prayer, we're here to pray with you. Go out there in the world and tell everybody the good news. God loves them. Amen. God bless you.